So, thank you for coming to the last installment of the Tefillah series. Given that it is the 3 weeks, I wanted to talk about a very widespread minhag that does come up on Tisha B'Av, of going to Kivrei Tzaddikim. The practice of going to the graves of the righteous to pray comes up four places in the Shulchan Aruch, all in the Ramah. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch himself does not mention anything, and all in different contexts of Tainesim and other times of Tshuva, one of which is on Tisha B'Av. So the question is it in fact permissible to do? Right? The original source we see, and see why I say original source, the earliest source we have for going to the graves of righteous actually comes from a few weeks ago, Parshas Shlach, right? Vayalu b'negev v'yavu a-chavron, right? Caleb went up to Hebron, or via the way of Hebron when he was going up into Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi tells us, what was he going to Hebron for? Right, he wasn't going just for a tiyul. He's going, v'yavu a-chavron, Caleb levado halach sham. No one else went there. He was the only one that went there. V'nishtacha al kivrei avos. He went and he literally prostrated himself. He prayed at the kivrei avos. So that's shalom aleichem. So we're discussing the widespread minhag on Tisha B'Av to go to cemeteries and pray there. Is it in fact permissible to do? So spoiler alert: the Shulchan Aruch Ramah quotes it. Question is, how is it permissible to go? So the earliest source we have of going to pray at Kivrei Tzaddikim is in fact Kalev. Right, Kalev Levado Halech Sham V'Nishacha Al Kivrei Avos. He went to pray there. Why was he praying there? Shlo Yenisas Lechavarev Lihios Be'atzasam. He didn't want to be swayed by the influence of the other Meraglim. He didn't want to fall prey to what they would wind up saying. And you know, him and Yeshua were the only ones that didn't. Right, Yeshua had a certain extra help from Moshe Rabbeinu, changing his name. Kalev didn't have anything. He needed to go and get the extra boost by going to Davin at Kivrei Tzaddikim. The Kain Hu Omer V'lo Aten Ez Aretz Asher Derecha. Right, quote other psukim that discuss the power of this area. V'yisnu Kalev Ez Chevron. That's why he got Chevron in the end of the day, because he utilized the power of this grave to the Tzaddikim really buried in the grave in order to help him in his mission. The question is, how could Kalev do that and how could we do that? The Pasuk tells us very seemingly explicitly, don't seek out dead people, right? Pasuk in Devarim says, V'chover chaver, v'shal ov, all these different occult things, v'yaduni, v'dorish el hamesim, don't seek out the dead. So, dorish, literally to be seeking out, tefillah is pretty seeking out. If you're asking for something, you're asking for help with something, that sounds like the exact same thing. So how could Kalev do that, and how can we keep doing that? We know there is a very widespread practice various times of the year to go. This is not a unusual thing. How is it, what is the difference between what Kalev and we are doing, and whatever this pasuk is talking about? So the Rambam in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah says, what is Ezehu Darish El Meisim? He's freely quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What is Darish El Meisim? What is this Isser? Ze Ma'arivis Atzmo V'Holech V'Lan L'Beis HaKavaros. You starve yourself and you go and hang out, you sleep in the Beis HaKavaros. Kadesh Yavo Meis B'Cholom. Right? In order that a mace could come to you in a dream and inform you something. There's a question, we'll get to it tonight, the Rav Moshe has in a tshuva of, are you allowed to make a shavuot with somebody while they're alive, that when they die, they'll come to you in a dream and inform you of whatever it is. So it happens to be historically, Houdini did that, whether or not it happens, whatever, not my apartment. But if you want some message from the dream, from the mace, whether in a dream, you're asking him something, you're asking him a question, you're expecting an answer. There's other ways of doing it. Shehem, lovshin, malbushim, yiduim. They have some sort of known seance garments. The omrim, devarim, and they say some words, some sort of incantations. The machtirin, kataris, you have your nice incense. V'yidua, apparently everyone knew what they were. V'yishenim, levadam, and they sleep alone. Kadesh shiabu, mace, ploni, v'yasaper, imo, becholom. Again, so the mace will come and talk to you in a dream. Klal shadavar, kol ose, kadesh shiabu, hames, v'yodiu, loke. Anyone that does anything so that a mace will come and talk to you, you get malchus. That is the isur deraisa of darish al hamesim. Shenemar lo yimatze becha me'avir darish el hamesim. It happens to be when I was preparing this year, I found that a few weeks ago there was an incident in Britain where somebody was convicted of murder, and the entire court case was overturned because it turns out the jury used a Ouija board the night before to try to figure out how they should judge. The judge did not find that to be a valid form of being a jury. The whole thing got thrown out. He had to have a retrial. So apparently this really still is going on. Anytime you're asking, looking for an answer. So, presumably, ostensibly, Kalev did not look for an answer, right? He's just praying that there should be some sort of Sefer Shemaya, there's some sort of help. So that should seem to get us out. However, despite what the Rambam says, that being the specific issur, there are those that still seem to have a problem with this. The first of the problem camp, I would say, is a minhug that is quoted in the name of the Gra, really from the Brisker line. Rav Soloveitchik had this Mesorah, this is really coming from Rav Shechter, quoting his Rebbe. They would never go to the cemeteries ever. You don't want some sort of Maris Ayin type thing. You don't want everyone to think you are beseeching the dead, trying to get an answer. Don't want anyone looking at that when you are there. Who knows what you're really saying? Who knows what your intentions are? Maybe you have starved yourself. Maybe you were there all night. Whatever it may be. Right? He had heard a reason. He also has another reason in Ish Halacha. It relates more to a philosophical end that he... The Ish Halacha focuses on life versus death. But that is this minhag. Really comes from the Gra in a letter he wrote to his wife, that he told his wife never to go to a cemetery. So he does not elaborate on why. Those are his words. So it seems to be that the Briskers had this tradition not to go, but they didn't get it. They didn't make it up. The Gra didn't make it up either. It really comes from the Bach. The Bach quotes a Shita, right? Really, he's talking about someone who makes neder. Someone makes neder, Lech lebeis kavaros or the mikvah beirlo shahalech ayde esek sham yatzei idei neder. Right, something happens. He makes a neder that he's going to go to the beis kavaros, or he's going to go to the mikvah, or something else. Something happens, and he's unable to go. So, is that called either an ones or whatever it is? Is that a neder that he is violating? So, the Maharil, we're discussing darsh al mesim, speaking to the deceased and seeking out the deceased. So the Bach quotes Chivas Maharil, the Maharil quotes, we'll get to that in a little while, one of the more famous sources. He says, Ode Re'isi, the next line, Chuva Hashem Rav Chaim Paltiel. Right, Chaim Paltiel, one of the Tosfotists, Al Nodrim Alech Labesa Kavaros. Says, anyone that makes such a neder, I don't care about the Hilchas Nadarim, why are you making a neder to go to a cemetery? That's weird. He says, "Ketzas hayanir kadarish al amesim." That seems like darish al amesim. That's not a good thing to do. Why would you make a neder to go to a cemetery? And oh, what about Kalev? We just said that Kalev went, he prayed. That seemed to be perfectly permissible. He says, no. If you think that Kalev was going to pray to the mesim, to go ask them for help, even though he didn't ask for an answer, you got the situation totally wrong. You got the story totally wrong. Rather, what is it? The Kalev shenishtache al kivrei avos, as the Gemara says in Sota, Hispael Hashem Hamakom Kedusha. Right, this is a place that is very historical. We have a tradition of something important being there, at least since Abraham Avinu, maybe even since Adam and Chava. It's a really special place. It's Misorayu. It's a Makom Kadosh. That's why he was going there. And that has nothing to do with who was buried there. It happens to be that there are people buried there. That gives it significance. That is not the reason that it was so powerful. That is not the reason he went there. Kedeshihi Tifilaso Nishmas. Right? It was just going in a sort of a humbling himself, using the power of the history. That's why he was going. It had nothing to do with praying to the Mason. That would be Darash al Mason, he says. That would be a problem. And exceeded by Avram El Hamakom Asher Amid Sham. Right, there's some implication that the Makom of Maras HaMakpela is important. Alma Shehamakom Garim Inami Mishabiza Esames Belekvodo Mishtacheach Al Kivra Amitzinu. Right, he's embarrassing himself, so to speak. He's lowering himself, humbling himself by showing how he's similar to a mace, But there's no relationship between him and the maid. That's what he quotes from Rav Chaim Otziel. However, the Bach himself says, Mihu, kavar hachziku b'minhag zeh. At this point, it has already become very widespread. There is, in fact, a minhag to go. There is, in fact, a minhag that we do go and pray at kivrei avos, kivrei tzaddikim. V'ein mochem. You shouldn't yell at people that are doing this. Yes le'zeh l'smach. You have some, what to rely on, but say for a Zohar. The Zohar seems to say something. V'davcha she'astecheach al kivrei avos, yispala l'fanai v'sparach. Right, we're going there. We're not praying to the Mesim, right? Intermediaries are a problem. It violates the fifth of the Ikari Amunah. We try to avoid violating the Ikari Amunah whenever possible. Right, Baal called Sarah Shelo Tavo Beschus Avosav Shenikvarim Po. Right, in the merit of the people that are buried here, their merit you should not speaking to them directly. Kiyotze Bezeh, the cover Niskanu Sidre Tefilas. We have a whole Sidre of Tefilas about this. Mishtachikim Akivre Avos Ein Leshum Mar Lemania Lebatam Inigze. Don't try to get out of this minhag. And the fact is, the Bach is not making up that there's such a minhag. The Bach gets it from the Gemara. The Gemara all over Shas indicates that people would go to cemeteries and they would daven there. Some of them have very explicit conversations, seemingly, with the mace. Some of them are listening to what the mace says. The Gemara in Brachos talks about somebody who gave away a very large sum of money right before Rosh Hashanah. His wife did not appreciate that so much. And he spent the night in the cemetery because there was nowhere else to go. So in that overnight, he overheard some mason talking about what was going on in the world. He actually used the information he got. He profited tremendously in the next year in business because he heard what was going to happen. But there is such a precedent. And the Gemara in Tainus even says, Lama yotzim lebeis hakavaros, I'm talking about on a fast day, why do we go to the beis hakavaros? Not do we go to the beis hakavaros, why do we go to the beis hakavaros? That particular question is a machlokas. That we go is not a machlokas. So it says, Pligiba, Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Chad Omer Bahari Anu Chashuvim Lefanecha Chamesim. We are considered as if we are Mesim. When we have a problem, we have a tsar, we have these issues going on, like the Tainus classically really meant, not just that we have a fast day, but there is something bad going on, there's a drought or something. We're lacking, we see ourselves like Mesim. Chad Omer Kadesh Yivachshu Aleinu Mesim Rachamim. So that the Mesim themselves should ask for rachamim on us, that we should be saved in their through their tefilos. My benehu, echemnehu kivrei akum. The nafkamina between those two reasons would be: could you go to a non-Jewish cemetery? Practically speaking, I think almost all of the poskim now say we should not go to kivrei akum because they have all sorts of symbols and other issues that would have technical issues beyond the scope of darshan meisim. But there's clearly a reasoning, at least one day in the Gemara, that not only are we going there for a practical purpose, like Rav Chaim Paltiel suggests Kalev is doing, we're going there so that they should have an oomph in the prayer. Better, they have better reception up there, so they should give us a little bit more of an oomph there.
So this is more on the person visiting, not necessarily the going to the cemetery as a covenant makes.
What do you mean?
Does one go to a cemetery to be coupled to the mace?
So that would be a different discussion that is brought up elsewhere in the Rambam. Here he is talking about going right for the person, for the sake of the person going, meaning you're going
right.
You're going to pray for your own sake, not just that they should have.
So there's tefillos.
Yes, right. The Ashtacheach, which is the language used most of these areas, this particular Gemara didn't use that language, but the Gemara in Sota does. It has a strong indication of praying. The Ramah, everywhere he brings it, says you're making tachunos, you're making other types of prayer. There's definitely something you're doing.
So I'm trying to contrast, so for instance, going to Arlington Cemetery to give some sort of honor to those that fell, but that's not the subject.
That is not.
You can't go to Arlington to daven.
For sure, you should not be going to Arlington to daven. If I'm not mistaken, do they have religious imagery in Arlington Cemetery, or is it all standard? I don't remember.
It's all military. I don't know if there's special.
I don't remember.
It's all military, but there are distinctions between the non-Jewish and the Jewish. And you can tell
are those
like,
meaning? Is that a cross, or is that just the?
I'm going. I've never been there.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough.
I don't believe, but
So if there's for sure no religious imagery, then that would be.
Well, there is religious imagery. There's
so no, that's the problem that everyone has with it, is specifically that.
Why should it be a problem in the cemetery? You can go to Loyola University or DePaul and they have symbols on the wall. You can go to Catholic hospital.
So you're not praying.
They would suggest that's a problem also. Right. So certainly praying in that space would be a problem, and then
going there to pray.
Right. It could be that's the more of a nekuda. I didn't see that discussed. I didn't see meaning. The Nafkamina really here is saying that you're not going to pray, you're going to humble yourself, and the post can still say not to do it because of that, so that would be more of an a specific Avodah Zarah, not the leading up to Avodah Zarah component of it. But the Drush HaZaran also has this idea that the Rishonim primarily seem to say, aside from the question of Kivri Akum, which is really the only Nafkamina listed in the Gemara itself, seems to focus on this idea that we're going to for the Mesim to pray for us, right? All these people, shefa shofeya aleihem. There's some sort of extra spiritual flow, spiritual power that tzaddikim have. That have an impact on their whole generation. This is the idea of getting a bracha from a chacham. Gemara in Chulin says if you have problems in your house, if someone gets sick, you should go to the chacham and get a bracha from him. Anyone that comes close to them and comes close. Then he says, it's not just when they're alive. Obviously, when they were alive, that would be terrific to get a bracha from them. Also, after they pass away. There is some impact that their body has, their kever has, that is also going to have this sort of
that
doesn't look so bad at all. I don't know.
Wait, did it go off?
No, it's right here. It looks they're all very standard.
Right.
Meaning they're very plain, actually.
And it goes on forever.
A very, very, very long time of the same exact thing. So that presumably, I'm not gonna give a pasak, but presumably that'll be better. But still not exactly the same question. Just no. You've never seen it before, so.
No, I'm just is there something on the matzeva that indicates
Okay. Yeah. DC or Virginia. That area. So there's some sort of spiritual connection that the neshama has to the kever. To the physical bone structure. That's actually going to come up very important in one of the later tshuvas, that there is some relationship that the body has. The Gemara and Brachos I quoted earlier, that's the problem going on there really is the two Mason are having a discussion. One of them asks, would you like to go and check out the world with me? Check out what's going to happen. The other one says, I can't. Someone put me underneath a reed. I can't get out. I'm stuck. So there is some connection that the body has that when you have an improper kavur, they're really stuck there. But regardless, there's some connection they have here. Ki atzmosehem asher kavu hayu kelim lechol aleihem ashefa eloki. Their bones, which were initially used while they were alive as a vessel for doing Ratzon Hashem, adayin nishar behem min hamala bekavod. There's some remnant kedusha. There's some remnant attachment there. V'yaspik lekliyotze b'zem. That's why they said in the Gemara, that's why we should go to the cemeteries, as you're calling, to go and pray there. The tefillah is going to have more of an impact there. That's why Kalev was going. Other sources say that there is a certain, it's called the Makom Kadosh. The Shlah himself says that the tzaddikim that are buried there are still mis'avil, they're mourning over Yushalayim. He's specifically talking about Tisha B'Av. There's some impact, they are aware of the world, they want to have an impact in the world, they want to do good for the world, and they are somehow found there more. Right? Rashi even tells us, the Medrash says, that Yaakov, when he was burying Rachel, did it on the way. One of the reasons suggested is so that when we go through Gullus, or they pass along the way, they should daven for merit. There is a source, I believe it was the Malbim, I to double check where it was, that says the reason we don't know where Moshe is buried is actually because if we were to know where Moshe is buried when we are about to go to Golis, such a powerful spot, such a good connection, we would go there. Kadosh Baruch Hu would have to cancel the Golis. We'd have to change his whole plans for history. We don't want to change plans for history, so we don't know where Moshe is, so we can't go there. That's how powerful it is. So it seems everyone, not everyone, most agree there is something here that is really important. And the Maharil quotes this, one of the classical sources of Ashkenazim and Hagim, that during the Anatinus, also comes up during Seris Mechuva and on Rosh Hashanah, actually a few years ago, wanted to go and see where my grandparents or my great-grandparents were buried in Newark, New Jersey. And I looked into the neighborhood, and apparently it has changed in the last few years. And during the Seris Mechuva, there is a police escort. They allow you to go in there. Something happened, I missed that day, so we didn't go. But you don't go there now alone. There have been people, Rachmanot, attacked there. So the Mariel says, Amir Marisago, Mashter Regalim, Lelechas, the base of Kavaris, Betainus. Why do we go to the base of Kavaris on a Tainus? Yesh Kamatamim, the Gemara. There are multiple reasons said in the Gemara. Lomar Shim, Ein Ata Marathem Aleinu, if the Kodesh Baruch is not going to have Rachmanus on us, Leros Beinoi Tainusainu, right? We are already oppressing ourselves, we're already withholding food from us. But if he doesn't have Rachmanus on us in the merit of the fast alone, we're literally going to be dead. Whatever it is we're praying for, we're not going to have. We're going to be as if we're not. But he says there's another reason. The base of Kavaros, Makom Menuchas Hasadikim. The place that the base of Kavaros is, the place where the Sadikim are for their eternal or until Techias HaMesim, their resting place. It's something very special, not so different from the Kotel, not so different from any other special place you would go to, conceptually. Obviously, it's not the same level of seriousness as the Kotel is. But Hamishtakeach al Kivrit Tzadikim Mispalel al Yasim Megamaso. He gives a big, big caveat here. This is where the real Nakuda of the Machloksim come up. It's a very, very nice place to go. It's a very good place to go. It's a Makom Kadosh for Tahor. It's a very special place. The Tefillah gets a lot more of an emphasis and is going to be answered more. It says, do not speak to the mace. That is not who we're talking to. We're talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We pray to God. We don't pray to other things. This discussion actually comes up also by Malachim. Can we pray to Malachim? That is a different story. The vast majority of the Jewish world actually does, in some capacity, pray to Malachim. Baruchim L'Shalom, that is a very disputed phrase in Shalom Aleichem. Machnisei Rachamim, some communities still say, on Yom Nirayim. There used to be a tefillah that we would say when we were in the bathroom, as we were going in, asking the Malachim that were escorting us throughout to please stand guard over us and watch over. By the Shulchan Aruch time already, we stopped saying that. Not because he had a problem with praying to Malachim, he had a problem because we weren't on the Madrega that we have Malachim all over the place. Rav Kook says, so why do we say Shalom Aleichem? Because on Shabbos everyone has their Malachim. That's we're easier to get Malachim on Shabbos than it is during the week. But it is the same idea. But he says we're not asking from the mace themselves, right? Same with davening to Malachim. We're not actually asking the Malachim to do something for us. We're asking them to fulfill their job. So the mace are not answering us, they're not giving us any powers, they're not giving us anything from their own power. They're telling us, okay, you are closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. You are in the Olam Emes, you're the Olam HaElyonim more, so they are not confined by the body anymore. So you should pray with your merit that you have as what you did in the world and what you have opportunity to now. So
There's a minhag. Again, being a Cohen, I've never done this. That before people get married,
yes,
they go to give a vote, and don't they? I don't know what they do there.
They invite the mason. There's a famous story, I believe, of Soloveitchik,
right,
that somebody went to do this, and he came back, and he asked. Maybe it wasn't. Rav Soloveitchik was involved. Mm-hmm. He wasn't initially asked. I did this minhag. Just want to know, what are these weird hands on my grandfather's tombstone? What do you mean these weird hands? It's like, yeah, there were these hands going like, you know, like Spock, right? Never go back there again.
But that's talking to
yes, the Mariel would have a big problem with that. He would not like that. Yes, 100%. He would not like that at all. He would say, don't speak to the mace. You're not turning to the mace. Ashafim sham.
And we're not talking about even for davening, but you can have a conversation.
That is what it sounds like. The juxtaposition is to the word tefillah, but it does seem like he's saying, do not talk to mesim. That is darash el mesim. It's an iser deraisa to seek out the mace. Don't do that. We saw the Rambam says that that might mean something different, but it might be an expectation of being answered. But the Mariel saying, do not speak to the mace.
What should our thoughts be on going
to these occurrences? So we have to see the rest of the other shitas. That's not the only... It's not the end of the story.
Okay, so can I ask you a question? I mean, are there certain... Okay, so when my wife goes to her parents, there's the Yekas have certain tefillot that you say. Does everybody have? I don't know, when you go see your dad. I mean, are there certain tefillot in particular that you say when you...
There are books. There's a book, Ma'an Lashon.
Right.
It was put out by one of the Chabad Rebbeim, which is a series of...
Right.
of tefillos for the cemetery.
Oh, okay.
Section here with a bunch of different...
Oh, yeah?
Tachanunim for...
So I meant to check before. I meant to check if they're second person or third person. That I wasn't sure about. But that's the real question.
Oh, second person, then it's about...
He would say, get out of here, second person. That's a big problem. Mm-hmm. Third person is very likely much better. I think that would almost universally be okay to be a third person. He says, but what you're doing here is Af Yavakesh Me'es Hashem Yisparach Shiyitain Alayv Rachmim B'Schus HaTzadikim Shochnei Afar that are here. Right? He says that in the Zechus of these people that are here, now this would be specifically in the context of Tefillah, that particular line. So in terms of speaking to, I'm not sure how that would play out, according to the Maharil. But in terms of Tefillah, he says, do not do anything else. The person who takes it a step further, the Maharil doesn't say the severity of that line. It's just, this is not what you should do. The Chai Adam takes it another step further, and he says, Yesh noagim od lech al-beit al-kavaros. Amnam srichim lezaher ma'od. You have to be very, very careful. Shelo yachnisu lekvaros mishuhu tamek. Oh, sorry, different point. He says everyone that's tamek hairy shouldn't go. Ki az chitzonim yistavkim bo. The external forces are going to latch onto you. But gam... don't go to Rishayim. They're going to make things worse for you. Here, this is the Zihir Ma'od. Nizir Ma'od Shelo Yasim Gamaso Dispile Lebakish Min Amesim. Same language as the Mahriel, except with Nizir Ma'od. Right? B'shakarov Hadavar Jiyeh Beklal V'dar Shal Amesim. He says, if you do in fact pray to the Mesim, that is very similar to. If you do pray to the Mesim, that is very similar to Dar Shal Amesim. The Isser Deraisa. The pasuk. So that is the most extreme to the, I guess, right camp. Do not speak. We in under no circumstances do we speak to mesim. However, if you look through all the paraphrasings, everything we've seen so far, this seems to be a very good case that Kalev is going there. He's going to pray. There's no indication of who he's praying to. That's great within Rashi, that's great within how the Bach brought it, that's great everywhere else. If you look at the Gemara itself, it seems very, very clearly the other direction. It says, the Gemara itself in Sota says, V'yalu b'negev v'yavu al-chavron, so far the same word as Rashi, V'yalu b'mboile amar rava melamed shepirish kalev me'etas raglayim, or meraglim rather, he was separated from the advice of his cohort, the other miraglim, other spies, v'halech nishtatech al kivrei avos, he went and he proceeded on the kivrei avos, amr lahem avosai bakshu alai rachami, my fathers, please ask for mercy on me. That is in the second person. He is speaking to the mesim. He is speaking to the people buried in Maras Machpelah, shenitzel v'etas miraglim, so that I should be saved from the advice of the miraglim. That sounds like he's praying to the mesim. In fact, the Munkat Shira of Minchas Elazar, really Luzar, the video, this picture I took is actually a screenshot. We have a video of him at his daughter's wedding. And he, if you want like to really boost your Shemayim, just watch this video. He's screaming to the American jury, assuming that the video is going to get to us, which he was right, it did, that Shabbos is important. Jews. I don't really understand the words. I was told that's what he's saying. He's speaking in Yiddish. I have no idea what he's actually saying. But he has a tshuva where he addresses going to Kivrei Tzaddikim, right? It is more a custom in the Hasidic community to do this. And he says the other extreme, quite literally the other extreme, talking about praying to Mesim. He says, Linnaeus Deity, Hazar Lemoser. This is all, you're being so cautious, you're being so worried for nothing. It's totally excess. Ki ein b'ze iser. There's no iser here. Adarabba, mitzvah echa. There's a mitzvah to go and go to the Kibbutz Tzaddikim and daven there. I don't know what that means. I don't know what mitzvah he's talking about. I have not been through every word of the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam. I did not see one that says you have to go to talk to Kibbutz Tzaddikim. There's certainly no bracha. I'm not sure what he's talking about, but he's saying it is a very, very good thing. All the way to the other side of the spectrum, you should in fact go, because Sher Nizkir Lahalan, we mentioned elsewhere, he's Mekara Maharbet Makomos B'Shas. We see all over Shas. This is not, the Sota was not the only place. All over Shas it says that people would go and ask their relatives for help, ask Tzaddikim for help, right? Meaning after they were already passed away. Ve'ein ha'kavana b'gemar sh'mevachshim b'hem sh'melitzu vachshu aleinu rachamim rachshu spalom l'Hashem ishbarach v'stam. Right? He quotes a understanding of it that maybe we're just asking Hashem. We know who we're really talking to. We know that the Mesim are not going to have independent powers. They're going to be using their connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, their connection to Hashem, to help us. They're going to hear our prayers, and they're going to bring them up with their merit, so that they can also, while they're bringing our tefillas up, go and give us another good word to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, I don't think that's even true necessarily. You could explain it that way, but there are places that seem to say that he says, that's how he says the Mariel is going to understand all these things. He doesn't think that's true. He thinks, no, we're really praying that they should directly accept the tefillah, bring it to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and answer us. We're speaking to them directly, not just that it's a sort of a language that is not so clear that we're speaking to them, but we really mean we're talking to Hashem. We're talking to them. We're saying, bring our tefillahs up. Many places in Shas say they pray, they beseech the dead that they should pray to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just like any other person, you go to a live tzaddik and ask, can you please pray for me? So the only difference is they're passed away. Some sources seem to say it's even better because they have nothing hindering them. They're not bound by the body anymore. How is it? This is the same exact thing. The Mariel is wrong. He says you can talk to the mace, you can have whatever conversations you want to, be it praying to them, be it other discussions, whatever you would be having there. Everything would be fine. Many places in Shas that say this. The Maram says the same thing. There's Amma Mehefach, he sees that there is, he quotes all these sources that seem to say there's a problem to pray them directly. Masha Chashashu B'zeh Mishum Darish Al-Mesim, he says all these concerns about Darish Al-Mesim, Ze'eno, there's no problem whatsoever. Why? Hi, he gives a few reasons. Chad, Hari Kaima La Yaradeya, we say Patsin Laradeya, Shakal Darish Min Haruach B'Neshama, Eino B'chol Darish Al-Mesim. Right, Darish Al-Mesim is when, as the Rambam says, you're latching onto the Kochos Satuma. You're latching onto some dark forces. You're starving yourself. You're sleeping there, becoming Tameh. That's related to the body, the bones of the mace. I'm not an expert on occult or witchcraft. I assume they use physical stuff to try to channel dark forces, black magic. You're not doing that. Like the Ran said, there happens to be a connection between the body and the neshama that's here. But I don't want anything to do with the body. I want the neshama. I want to have a relationship with the neshama. The neshama is the one that's going to bring my tefillahs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm talking about. Has absolutely nothing to do with Darish HaMesim in the first place. That's step one. Chadad, tzaddikim chayim, kayim im haynu nishamoseihem. Right? When they're alive, we also have a connection to them. We ask them to pray for us. Same thing, we're looking for the neshama, which has not really changed at all. That's number one. Shenis. We're not really praying to them that they use their power. They don't have power. Their neshama is just like we are. Ela ikar hatafila b'hadrisha b'vakasha hu me'es Hashem. The ikar is really from Hashem. Ela shahashem yisparach mekabal tevilasan b'zechus tzadikim. Right? Hashem should accept our prayers in the merit of these tzadikim avakshim gam kain rachim. And they also ask for it. Mim kain mevura meyushav. Right? A Torah lo aser ela limlitein ela kush l'shem nivra. Regarding the same question comes up by Malachim, by every other discussion of an intermediary, the problem is not asking somebody else to pray for us. The problem is asking them to help us, meaning that they have an independent power. There's a godliness given to them. There was one time I was in an airport, in my family lives in Charleston. So I was in the airport, and I wasn't able to make mincha, so I was davening mincha there. And someone comes up to me, and he asks, he's apparently a Protestant seminary student, and he wanted to know, the malach that escorts Bnei Yisrael through the midbar, is that more divine than previous malachim or other malachim whatsoever? He had a whole theory, not to go into what his theory was about it, so I immediately used the opportunity to inform him that thinking anything other than God is divine is idol worship, and we don't do that. Also, he said, "Do you pray? Would you pray to that angel?" So we don't pray to any angels directly. We don't attribute divinity to anything other than God. I don't know if he understood what I was saying or not, but I got into the plane and we had a good day. If Filo the Malach says anything, giving a Malach also Elokus would be a problem. So he says, he actually seems to be taking more of a conservative camp regarding the Malachim, he says, but he said, it's better to hafakin to Mason, because that's not as bad. Lo kain espala al kivrus tzadikim shispalu ba'adenu. They're not Malachim. They're not have anything to mix up. They're not going to be confused with a god. We're not giving them power. Ella, we're telling them all the problems that are happening to us. We're telling them all the things that are going wrong. From their vantage points, please talk to Hashem, help us to make it good. Others say that the idea of tzaddikim, filim misasan, nichim chayim, even when a tzaddik passes away, they're considered to be living. So it's better even that such than a malach. There's no such problem whatsoever. So at the end of the day, the golden mean seems to be, I did not see anybody actually explicitly address speaking to the mace as sort of a talking, saying we missed you kind of thing. Definitely according to this camp of the Munkacher, the Maram Shik, that would not be a problem, because you're just informing them of what your feelings are. You're informing them, I miss you, I wish you were here still, whatever it would be. Regarding tefillah, the Mishnah Berurah brings the middle camp, that there's no problem to go. It is a widespread, undisputed custom that the Jewish people have done for many, many years. But he draws the line at praying directly to the Mason, the second person. He says, Besa Kavaris, Hu Makom Menucha Sadikim, quotes all these other sources. He talked about the tefillah, Niskabla Sham, Yoser Ach, Ayasim Magamaso, Neged HaMason. Don't speak directly to the Mason. Don't point your problems in the second person to them. Ach, Yivakesh Mehashem Yisparach Shenite Alive Rachamim B'Zuchus Tzadikim Shofnei Afar. Say, the merit of these tzadikim, the merit of these people that have done major, many good things in their lives, that we want to invoke that zchus in their merit, please answer us. V'yaki v'kavaros v'yitain tzedakah. Right, he says there's other things you do, also giving tzedakah, trying to add zchusim here. Kodim Shiyomar Tachtonos. He also limits it. Don't go so many times. Don't go twice in one day. Presumably, I didn't see anywhere earlier than him say that. Don't be obsessed with this. And I think the bottom line is a tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, who quotes the Maharal. Maharal is really addressing Machnisei Rachamim and angels, but Ein Lanu Im Malachim. Right, the end of the day. Yes, this is a widespread practice, and this is potentially even a good thing to do to bolster our tefillos, to inspire us, to remind us. But in the end of the day, remembering that ultimately our connection is with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the connection we have, the merit we have, we don't need an intermediary. We don't need to go through somebody else. We have our own relationship to Hashem. Every single time we daven, every time we say Shemona Esrei, we have this direct relationship to Hashem, that we should ultimately be our relationship, to ultimately be our channel to tefillah. And when we do use something like this, or even the angels, Barachuni, Bashalom, etc. It is only using the spiritual channels in nature that Kadosh Baruch Hu built, put into the world. Ultimately, their relation is to Him. And as I know we've talked about of the Shirim, I've talked about, and all of the Tefillah Shirim, that should be something to remember, that really when we're saying these words, when we're reading from the Siddur, when we're praying, we're really talking to the Bari Olam. We have this direct connection to Him that we don't need to look elsewhere for. We have that always, and that itself should be a huge source for us in all that we do. So that's...
And the bottom line is you don't have to go to a cave to talk to them anyway. You can talk to them anytime you want.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
it must be a long-standing custom, not just Jewish, to go visit. People who are important.
Right. The Ron seemed to say, the Ron points...
16 million people visited the grave of Kennedy in the first 3 years.
Interesting. The Ron's point...
that's not to pray.
I don't
show respect for
fully understand that there is, in fact, some benefit to going there specifically. Right. There is this idea that, meaning people go all the time, people leave, there actually is a sort of a different topic, but Rav Kook has a shuva where he bemoans people leaving Israel to go daven Kibbutz Tzaddikim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach once said, I don't understand, you have, aside from the fact that you have all these different Tzaddikim up in the north, Rav Kook himself said that. He says, if you want to go daven Kibbutz Tzaddikim, you don't need to go to Europe, go to Har Herzl. We have plenty of Tzaddikim here. But there is an idea that there's a... Right, I mean, that's where Kalev went. It's Marat Machpelah. So, it's a sort of a historical tidbit. The Kavarim at Marat Machpelah are not the Kavarim. These nice little, like, things they've made.
The
Tzionim, right. They have nothing to do with the actual Kavarim. The Kavarim are totally off-limits because it's a dangerous cave. You can't fit people in. Below the Mara.
Right, so it's a symbol of the Kavarim.
It's a symbol, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I'll take you with
her.